Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is Tailgate Till May, part of the Believe Podcast Network. If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgi, and I love both of those things too. I hope everybody had a fantastic Christmas weekend and is ready to really get into the thick of bowl season, because bowl season to me feels like it's going to start in earnest tomorrow on December 27th because we got a big day of four bowl games. The day after that, the 28th, we got another four bowl games. And this is when you start to get into that mode where it's like, oh, it's noon, turn on ESPN, oh, there's a bowl game. Might as well watch that one, then get sucked in for the next, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 hours. Because tomorrow on the 27th, and I record this the evening of the 26th here, we kick off at 2 p.m., and the last kickoff of the day is 9 p.m. On Thursday, even better, 11 a.m. kick Eastern time between SMU and Boston College. The last kick of the day, 9:15 between Arizona and Oklahoma. So I feel like this is where we really start bowl season in earnest. Yeah, we've had bowl games. There's even been some good bowl games. There's been plenty of fun bowl games. But now is when you enter that zone where time kind of has no meaning between Christmas and New Year's, and you can just turn on the TV at any given point and there's going to be college football on, which is a fantastic thing. So let's get right into this thing. And what I'm going to do today, I'm going to be talking about the games on the 27th and on the 28th, four on each day, eight total. And I'm going to rank my interest in each one over the course of the next 2 days, and I'm going to give some picks out, of course, talk about how I'm viewing the slate from a gambling perspective. So let's start with Wednesday, the 27th. I mentioned it already, 2 p.m. kicks things off. And the game that I am most interested in on Wednesday, that's going to be the Duke's Mayo Bowl between North Carolina and West Virginia. It's a 5:30 Eastern time kick in Charlotte, North Carolina. In this game, West Virginia is a 6.5-point favorite. The total is 55.5. And the big story or big piece of personnel news, I guess, out of this game is that Drake May will not be playing. And Drake May is a guy who is going to be battling for the opportunity to be the number one pick in next year's NFL draft. Him and Caleb Williams are going to be right there, 1-2. Caleb Williams probably has the advantage right now, but Drake May will be right there. As we go through all these games, I will go through some of the big personnel news because it's such a big part of bowl season, who's playing, who isn't, and it's really changing how you view these games, what the lines are, and how you'd observe and bet these games as well. So that's the big news out of that one. But the reason I'm so excited about this game is because West Virginia had a great season. Neil Brown, their head coach, entered the year very much on the hot seat. You look at any of the hot seat list, he was on it. You look at how the media picked West Virginia to finish in the Big 12, and this became a big number for West Virginia all year, 14 out of 14. They were picked dead last in the Big 12. And what does Neil Brown do? What does West Virginia do? Well, they go out and they put up 8 wins on the year. They go 8-4 on the season, and they had themselves a really, really nice year. They could have been, you could do this with a lot of teams, but they really could have been 9-3 if not for a Hail Mary loss against Houston. That's a game they absolutely could have had. So you could be looking at a 9-win team here. As it is, you're looking at an 8-win team here, and a really big year for Neil Brown and the West Virginia Mountaineers. And Neil Brown really got his hands dirty with the offense, and it started humming. Garrett Green, their quarterback, had a fantastic season. He was kind of a guy who would go, who went from somebody who you knew could make some plays with his legs to somebody who grew a lot as a quarterback. The stats aren't eye-popping, 53% completion percentage, but he had 15 touchdowns to 4 interceptions on the season, and he can make some plays with his legs. He makes plays with his legs, and he was able to, he always had that, and he was able to add to that this season and become an effective passer as well, who you could trust. So he puts up over 700 rushing yards on the year, 13 rushing touchdowns to go along with those 15 passing touchdowns and those 2,000 passing yards. So West Virginia looks like they could be at the start of something here. Garrett Green is going to be able to come back and play next year. And West Virginia, maybe now they're getting to the point in the Neil Brown era where they can really build something, where they can continue to make progress and make some take some steps forward. From a North Carolina perspective, they're going to start Connor Harrell at quarterback in this game. And Connor Harrell is a guy who is a young quarterback, has played really sparingly for them. I think he is Harrell is a redshirt freshman. So he's a guy who hasn't had a lot of experience, but he's a guy who in very limited time, he came in against Campbell this season in mop-up duty and put up some big numbers in limited action here. So it's exciting to see what he can bring to the table. Whoever is at that quarterback spot at North Carolina since Mack Brown has returned has always put up big numbers and has always been somebody to watch nationally. So it'll be interesting to see what he can bring to the table in that bowl game. It's also in Charlotte. It's going to be probably a pretty pro North Carolina crowd, but it's not, you know, it's doable for West Virginia fans who are excited about what they did this year. And I think the crowd should be decent there, which to me makes bowl games always that much more enjoyable, that much better. So I'm interested to see what North Carolina looks like in the post-Drake May era. That's going to be a huge deal for them. How do they move on? How do they replace Drake May? What's next for them? So I'm excited about this game. I am betting over 55.5 in this game. I think if Drake May was playing in this game, you would see this total be much closer to 60, maybe over 60 in this game, maybe even like 63 in this game. I think West Virginia certainly puts up points in this game. I'm not worried about them from a personnel perspective. I think they'll continue to do what they do offensively against a North Carolina defense that was better, but still not outstanding this season. What West Virginia really excelled at, and Parker Fleming, you can find him at StatsoWar on Twitter. He does the great advanced stats previews of each game. What you can see pretty obviously in the advanced stats preview of this game is West Virginia runs the ball really well, and that's where North Carolina struggles. West Virginia does a great job. This is even more obvious here. West Virginia does a great job of creating scoring opportunities, and North Carolina struggles to limit scoring opportunities. And you can see that in the echo rate there. If you're looking at those advanced stats previews, I love that stat, echo rate and points per echo as well. And then on the other side of the ball, North Carolina did a really nice job of converting their scoring opportunities into points. They were in the top 50. They were number 50 nationally in points per echo. West Virginia, 95th defensively in points per echo. So where they struggled was stopping teams from punching it in those scoring opportunities. I can't say for sure I know how Connor Harrell is going to perform in this game, but I think there's some value on the over there because I think this total has been pushed way down because Drake May is not playing. I think that in a lot of these bowl games, when you know the starter's not going to be in, you have plenty of opportunity to give that backup quarterback first team reps, have him get comfortable, and come out with a little something. So I read something that earlier this week with Mac Brown just talking about Harrell, talking about how he's a different quarterback than Drake May. He's faster than Drake May. In that Campbell game, he did put up some rushing yards. So, and not that Drake May can't run. That was always one of the things that I found impressive about Drake May, is as big as he was, as well as he could throw the ball, he could run too. You saw it in that first game he played a season ago. And I always found that, really impressive about him. But Harrell is a little bit faster, Mac Brown says. So I think there's some things they can come out and do and design for him. And let's be honest, the quarterback in under Mac Brown has traditionally put up big numbers at North Carolina. So I think that total has been pushed a little bit too low. I'm playing the over there at 55.5. The game I'm looking forward to next on the day is the 9 p.m. Eastern kick, Texas A&M, Oklahoma State. And this is really because Ollie Gordon, Oklahoma State's stud running back, announced that he is coming back for another season to Oklahoma State. Now, you might be saying, like, okay, why does he have to announce that? He's not even eligible to go to the NFL draft. Well, look, right now, I mean, the fact is he was going to be, if he entered the transfer portal, one of the most coveted guys in the transfer portal. And he announced that he is coming back to Oklahoma State. So it's a huge win for the Cowboys. And this is a Texas A&M team that, of course, is going through the coaching change from Jimbo Fisher to now Mike Elko. They have a ton of guys who are in the transfer portal. And I am taking Oklahoma State here -2 in this game. Mike Gundy, traditionally very successful in bowl games. Oklahoma State coming off a very nice season. They have a lot of excitement with Ollie Gordon coming back. I think they are motivated to cap this one off with a win, whereas Texas A&M is just going through so much transition. So give me Oklahoma State -2 here. The number 3 game of the day for me is Virginia Tech Tulane, and that kicks at 2 p.m. Eastern time. That is the Military Bowl. That will be played at Navy's stadium, Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. And the Texas A&M Oklahoma State bowl game is the Texas Bowl. That'll be played at NRG Stadium in Houston. But the Virginia Tech Tulane game is a game where if we saw these two teams play in the regular season, the line would not be what it is. The line is Virginia Tech -10.5. It's a total of 43.5. And the reason for this is because Tulane has been absolutely decimated with Willie Fritz leaving as the head coach, taking the same job at Houston. And with him leaving, a bunch of the other coaches leaving, they've also lost a bunch of guys who will not be playing in this game. They lost their starting quarterback. Michael Pratt will not be playing in this game. A couple wide receivers are out. There are a ton of impact players out for Tulane in this game. If Tulane and Virginia Tech had met on a neutral site during the season, I think Tulane would have been certainly a favorite, but I don't know. I think maybe a 3.5 to 7 point favorite is probably where I would have put it, I guess, depending on what part of the year you're in. But either way, as it stands right now, it's Virginia Tech -10.5. And my inclination here is to take Tulane despite all of the guys they've lost, because there's still something about a team that won the American last year, that went to the American Championship game this season, that it feels disrespectful to be giving them so many points for those guys who did stay, who are going to still play in this bowl game. But Virginia Tech, they ended the season on a really strong note. Things really changed for them when Kyren Drones took over at quarterback. Their offense really took a big step up. If you look at their end of their season, you just kind of run down the schedule and look at their point totals. They put up 48 points against Boston College. They put up 28 against NC State in a loss, and they ended with a huge 55-17 win on the road against their rival Virginia. They had a nice year, and it was impressive for them to get back to a bowl game there. Brent Pry struggled a lot. That team struggled a lot in Brent Pry's first season, and now they are back in a bowl game. The defense was solid. The offense took a big step up, and it was an impressive season for them. So I am just going to stay away from this game. No bet on this game. And then the fourth game of the day for me is Louisville USC. And this is a game in the Holiday Bowl out in San Diego. It's an 8 p.m. Eastern time kick. And the line is Louisville -7, a total of 58.5. And this is last for me just because of who is not playing for USC. And that, of course, is Caleb Williams, who has a chance to be the top overall player selected in this year's NFL draft. Him and Drake May are going to probably be the two guys battling for that. And he is going to sit out just like Drake May is going to sit out in this game. Running back Marshawn Lloyd is also going to be out for USC. So it's a game where it's like, okay, yeah, this would be interesting in the season if everybody was playing, but it's hard to get super pumped about this one when Caleb Williams is not playing. And I don't judge Drake May or Caleb Williams for not playing, to be perfectly honest. They are both, again, have a chance to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. And I understand if they want to go ahead and move on and just get the process rolling there, avoid any injury. But for us as viewers, as college football fans, it does leave a little something to be desired here. The way I'm going to play this game is I am going to bet Louisville over 33.5 on the team total. You have to go back to September 25th to find a time that USC's defense was able to hold an opponent under 33.5 points. That would be when they held Arizona State to 28 in a 42-28 win over the Sun Devils. In every game since then, which I believe is eight games. Yeah, it would be eight games since then. Their last eight games, they allowed over 33.5 points. Jeff Brohm is well-known Louisville's head coach for being able to scheme up trick plays, come out with a good game plan. Louisville does not have a lot of personnel losses in this game. They are coming off a great year one for Jeff Brohm. They can really build some momentum here. And I think that is a team and a fan base that is excited and motivated to play in this game and get a win over USC. So give me the Cardinals team total over 33.5. All right, let's go on now to Thursday the 28th, where we have another four games on the docket. And the game I am most excited for on Thursday, and it's the game I'm really most excited about over these next 2 days in general, is Arizona and Oklahoma in the Alamo Bowl. That game is at 9:15 on Thursday the 28th. It's in San Antonio, Texas, at the Alamo Dome. And to me, bowl season now has actually become a lot more about seeing who's next in college football. It's almost a kickoff to the following year, and you can certainly debate how much the result of a bowl game matters in terms of building momentum for the following year, but it certainly builds excitement for a fan base. If you win a bowl game, it sets things off on the right note, gets the fan base excited for the next year. But it's with all of the opt-outs and so much activity in the transfer portal, it has become a lot about seeing what is next, who is next. And in Oklahoma's case, we are going to see a guy that everybody is excited to see at quarterback in Jackson Arnold. Dylan Gabriel, of course, had a fantastic season for them. He transfers to Oregon. He will not play in the bowl game, but Jackson Arnold, their next quarterback, will start in this game. And we're going to really get to see what he has to offer as a guy who was super highly rated and now had about, you know, a month or so with first team reps to prepare to start this bowl game. And it's something that I'm very interested in observing more is as we see more of this with guys transferring, younger quarterback, especially at the quarterback position, those quarterbacks playing, getting that month long opportunity to take first team reps. How much does that help their development? Does it matter at all? I tend to think it can only help. I don't think it'll really hurt. I guess it could hurt confidence wise if you go out and you have a really bad bowl game, but I think those reps, those first team reps in practice, are going to do nothing but help. So I am excited to see Jackson Arnold play in this game. I'm also excited to see Arizona just play again this season, because they had such a great end to the year where it was every time they took the field, you felt like they had a chance to win. They won their last six in a row. Over the course of that streak, they beat Washington State, Oregon State, UCLA, Utah. They got really big wins. And right before that, they played USC and Washington very, very close. This is a team that was very nearly in the Pac-12 championship game. They fell just short of a trip to the Pac-12 championship game. They go 9-3 overall, 7-2 in conference. And there's a lot of momentum with this program as they move from the Pac-12 to the Big 12. So this is the kind of the who's in, who's out bowl. Arizona coming into the Big 12, Oklahoma moving from the Big 12 to the SEC. It's the long-standing king of the conference who is going to depart versus a newcomer who looks like it could get off to a very successful start in the Big 12. And we could be talking about Arizona as potentially a 12-team college ball playoff team in the next year or two here, especially with that defense that they have with Noah Fafita at quarterback. He was a guy who burst onto the scene as a freshman and was an absolute star this season for them. So a lot of excitement for Arizona here. During the season, this is a game that I would have loved to have played Arizona getting some points. Given the circumstances, they are actually the 3-point favorite in this game. I think I'm just going to stay away from this one. I could see a shootout happening here. I could see a shootout happening for sure, but I just don't know enough about Jackson Arnold to know what this game is going to look like. I think it's a bit of a toss up here, but I'm excited to watch this one. This is the game I'm most excited to watch over the next 2 days. The game that's next for me is going to be NC State, Kansas State. That's a 5:45 kickoff. That's the Pop-Tarts Bowl. A lot's been made about the Pop-Tarts Bowl. People are very excited about the edible mascot and all that the Pop-Tarts Bowl has to offer. This one's going to be at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. Kansas State, a 2.5-point favorite in this one. The total, 47.5. This is another stay away for me. These two teams honestly resemble each other a lot. I feel like these are two very consistent programs that you kind of know what you're going to get from each of them year in and year out. They're typically around that 8-win range. Kansas State, you know, went out and won the Big 12 2 years ago, had a very good year. And this year went 8-4, fell a little short of expectations, I would say. I think a lot of Kansas State fans probably disappointed, especially with that last season-ending loss at home to Iowa State in the snow. Also took Texas to overtime, had a chance to win that game. And if they win that game, they have a very good chance of going to the Big 12 championship game. And of course, everything kind of probably plays out differently from there. Who knows if that Iowa State game goes the same way. But they had a solid 8-win year, fell a little bit short of expectations, and then had a lot of guys hit the transfer portal, most notably starting quarterback Will Howard, who was a record-setting quarterback at Kansas State and led them to that Big 12 title a year ago. But this is another situation, like at Oklahoma, where we're going to see the future, because Kansas State is going to start Avery Johnson, their freshman quarterback in this game. And he's a guy who came in, he got some packages during the season. They were starting to do a little bit of that two-headed monster deal with Avery Johnson and Will Howard, much like they did a year ago, but not with Avery Johnson before Avery Johnson was there, but with Will Howard and Adrian Martinez. This year, it was starting to be Will Howard and Avery Johnson. And Avery Johnson is going to get the reins for this one. So I'm super excited to see that. Again, with the uncertainty, I'm just going to stay away from this one. The next game that I'm watching is 11 a.m. kickoff. You gotta love an 11 a.m. kickoff. It's SMU and BC, future ACC rivals, of course, in the Fenway Bowl at Fenway Park. SMU, I think, has a valid gripe against the College Football Playoff Selection Committee for being left out as the G5 New Year's Six representative in favor of Liberty. They win the American. They have a really nice year. Liberty played a super soft schedule, and SMU goes 11-2, with their two losses being to Big 12 schools. They win what looked to be the toughest G5 conference, and so I think they have a valid gripe there. So the question kind of becomes, how motivated are they to play in this game? Do they want to go out there, and do they want to really take it to a team and show the committee, hey, you should have put us in? Or is there a lack of motivation to play in this game? That's always the question. Motivation is always such a big question when you're talking about handicapping bowl games. The way I want to play this one is I want to play the over in this one. It's 47, and I expected it to be much higher. So I looked at the weather, a little rain in Boston expected on Thursday, but you're actually talking about a fairly warm day for Boston at the end of December. It's going to be about high of 47 that day. There will be some rain, but it's not going to be super, super windy, 10 to 15 miles per hour. So it's not like we're talking about 30 mile per hour wind gusts here. And SMU is a team that has a great passing attack. We saw that all season. Their starting quarterback, Preston Stone, did get hurt at the end of the year, but their backup started in the American Championship game against Tulane. Jennings is his name, Kevin Jennings. So he will have a chance to only get more and more reps ahead of this bowl game. But this is an offense I expect to continue to play really well. The Boston College offense was very good at times. Thomas Castellanos, their quarterback, is always worth the price of admission. He's a really exciting dual threat quarterback who can make things happen through the air and on the ground. There was a bunch of games this season where Castellanos was Boston College's leading passer and their leading rusher. So I expect some points in this game. I don't think the weather is going to be a huge limiting factor in this one. Give me the over 47 in this one. And then we'll wrap things up. 2:15. This is the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. 2:15 Eastern Time, Rutgers in Miami. Rutgers, much like Boston College, essentially a home team in this one. And this is a game where Miami is going to be without its starting quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke, who has entered the transfer portal, I believe, is going to Wisconsin. And it's an interesting situation for Miami because they're chasing a transfer quarterback. They're trying to get Cam Ward, the Washington State transfer. And so, you know, they're going to start a freshman in this game. That player is not necessarily going to be their starting quarterback next year. It's not going to necessarily be their future quarterback because of the transfer portal, because they're trying to chase some players out there. So it's not quite a Jackson Arnold, Avery Johnson situation where it's like, okay, we get to see the future of Miami football. This is a clear opportunity to build momentum towards next season with Ja'Cory Brown, who is going to start in this game. So it's a little bit of a different situation here. Rutgers, good year for Rutgers. Rutgers had a very strong, very solid defense this season. They played some teams very tough in the Big Ten. Ultimately, they lose to Michigan early in the year, 31-7. But this was a game that was 7-7 in the second quarter. I think they threw a pick six just before halftime in that one. Is this the one they threw a pick six? No, it must have been the Ohio State game. They threw a pick six just before halftime. Point being, they hung in some of these games. They found a way to get to six wins, mostly on the strength of a good defense. Offense struggled at times. I would have absolutely loved during the year to have gotten Rutgers as like a 7.5, 10-point dog in this one. As it stands right now, they're going to be the favorite in this game. They are the favorite in this game. They're a 1.5 favorite in this one. And I just don't feel great about taking Rutgers as a favorite, even though all signs point to Rutgers in this one. And it was, yes, the Ohio State game where it was Rutgers had a 9-7 lead and they threw a pick six early in the second quarter. They were driving. And they threw a pick six. So they hung with some of these really good teams in the Big Ten this season. I would love to have taken them as a dog, but as that favorite, I'm just going to stay away from this one. That's our show for today. Should be a fun bowl slate over the next 2 days. I will be back on Thursday. I'll talk about the Friday slate of bowls, the Saturday slate of bowls, and of course, break down each of the two college football playoff games, because it's here. It's less than a week away. I talked a little bit about how I'm handling my national championship futures bets, but now it's time to really dive in and break down those college football playoff games. Until next time, keep the grill hot and the cooler cold.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.